Just talk to us a little bit. What's common for all, completely common for all of us, we absolutely shared, is that you know who everyone is at the depth because they are yourself. There's not two selves. So you intimately know yourself, and to the good degree that you know yourself, you know exactly who the other person is in their depth. We also, with psychology, you learn that the anger, the rage, the acting out, the hatred, all of these types of reactions that we can just lump into anger or lump into rage, all of those are a superficial defense to the hurt child, really. They're a very superficial defense that stop, that allow a person to not have to confront the intolerable pain that they suffered at some time, probably when they were young. It's an intolerable pain. They have no knowledge or interest or capacity to sit with that. People, most people, I mean, we're very blessed to even know that we can actually do that. Most people do not know that they can do that or how to do it. And so instead, a defense system comes to protect that, and the defense system is continually acting out, projecting, because it's all, you know, internalized hurt, internalized pain. So it, and it's also dyadic, means there's all of our pains that are being protected. You know, they have the perpetrator and the hurt, and the hurt person, the one who's the hurting person and the hurt person, along with the intolerable pain. All of that is sitting, resting in there, covered by the rage defense, you know, the anger defense. And so what happens is that that person who's holding that pain can easily be triggered because there's so much there. So it can easily be triggered, and then that person can, if you're the kind of the unlucky one who receives that kind of transference, you have to receive this an anger or a hatred that is a murderous rage, which is very, very hard even for a therapist to metabolize within a confined space. A therapist can do it because you're on your best behavior, so to speak, and that's your job and you know how to do that. But when it's somebody in your family or somebody in the world that is connecting with you, and you have to deal with them on a day-to-day basis, we often find that we're not big enough to do it, basically. So, but we're not big enough to do what, is the thing. So if we understand what it is we really have to do, we may find that we are big enough to do it. So I'll just tell you how, this is all aspects of the Ho'oponopono. What I do, and that has been really, really helpful for me in my own growth, is that the person who's acting out the rage can be pretty hard to accommodate, you know? But if you go beneath the defense, and you realize what happened to that, you may know or not know, you can just surmise what happened to that child, you know, who that child is, then you know you're getting down to what is really the problem. Because the rage is a superficial defense. You're getting down to what is really, really the problem. And so now when you do this type of prayer, Like, say there's somebody in my life who is, causes me or can cause me a lot of grief, a lot of pain. And so it's hard for me to say, you know, I love you and I'm sorry, I love you, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me. Because then I might think, there's nothing to forgive here. But there's another way to think about it. And the one way that works or is effective for me, if I'm focusing on the pain that I'm feeling that's been triggered by the acting out rage of the other person, and I'm somehow not able to just nicely take that in, metabolize it, and give something else back. I'm not capable of doing that. So say I'm not. Then my prayer is to the little boy or little girl inside. And it has, this is the tone of it. It's that talking to the little one, you know, I love you. Because you can say that to a child. A child acting out is much different than an adult acting out. I love you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me that I haven't been big enough, you know, that I haven't been big enough to take this in and give you back something else. Because I want to be big enough to be able to take that, metabolize, and give back something that is helpful. And what is helpful for, you have to get, it's not helpful to respond to the rage. The rage is not what it's about. The rage is just the expelling, pushing away, you know, acting out to try to cover the terrible pain that's inside. So what that little boy or girl really needs is someone to see that person, the little one, you know, who's really suffering. And what is so helpful for all of us, if somebody does that for me, it would always be very, very helpful. Somebody who really sees, who really understands, you know, and understands the pain. But then you might find that you're not yet able to do that with that person because sometimes, for whatever reason, what they have done has just triggered you and you can't take it in and metabolize it. So if I sit with that and say, you know, to the little one inside, you know, I love you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for not being big enough. And then sit with that type of love, then that can be really, really helpful because you're asking yourself to, for your heart to be as big as Ishwara and to actually be able to take that and give back something else. So that kind of attitude is really helpful. And it seems that when there's any type of dyadic relationship and to in any type of a perpetrator and the person that's hurt, there is a lock and key bond there between the one who hurts and the one who is hurt. There's something that the two of you are in a very, in some way, sharing, like a lock and key, a pain. And it's underneath this acting out on this thing. So you can even do all of that, going to the pain that you're feeling and all of the things pushing away. You can focus on your side of that. Maybe we don't like to think of it about like that, but I think actually psychologically, that's how it is. That we have a shared relationship, even a love relationship is a shared relationship, but a pain relationship is also a shared relationship. And so on some level, what you're experiencing, the other person is experiencing. And so with lock and key, there's like two sides to that. So if one key is pulled out, then that's released. That shared pain is released. And also begins to be healed. If one side heals, then the other side heals. And so it's true of the person, even in the past or in the present, that is causing a lot of pain or damage in your life or doing things to kind of be a great spoiler. You don't feel like it's hard to evoke the love in a real way. But that's not who you're talking to. You're not talking to that person, the adult. You're talking to the one who was terribly damaged when they were young, and they have no way to get out. It's the thing. And so somebody has to help them. Just like somebody has to help us. You know, we have all of these tools to help ourselves. But if we can't help the other side of the lock and key, we're trapped. We become trapped in that pain. So this is just a way to kind of break that, so that then both are relieved of each other. They're relieved of each other, and they can then have a chance of healing themselves. So when we do like this Ho'oponopono, or any variation of it, you know, it's not like you're visualizing and saying, I love you, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Imagining the person there who is causing all the problems. That's another type of meditation, and when you're ready for that, you can do that one too. But this is actually going to the pain itself and realizing that the pain that you're feeling is probably very much connected to the pain, or identical with the pain of the one that hurt you. And you can recognize that in yourself. Like if you hurt somebody or react against somebody, you feel pain. You can't get away with that. You know, you'll feel it. Which you'll be feeling what the other person is feeling, actually. It's that lock and key. And so we have to develop the skill to release that. And this is just one of the ways. So you're talking directly to the pain. You're talking to the child inside, your own child, but also the child who is never inside of the person who's so highly defended and rageful, because nobody has been able to come to them and say those words, which are the words that we need. This terrible thing is, you know, is you were so hurt, I'm so sorry, you know, please forgive me, I wish I could have been there, you know, to help you at that time. And nobody was there to help. You know, even in when we talk about child rearing, parents make mistakes all the time. But when they make the mistake, they pick up their baby. I love you, honey, so much. I'm so sorry. Mom, your daddy hurt you. I didn't mean to hurt you at all. You're so precious. Then, well, fine, you know. But somebody has to say, I love you. I'm so sorry. I would never want to hurt you. You're so precious. And it's okay. It's okay. But what if they don't say that? What if the abuse is so much too much for them to be able to say that? And so then that child is stuck with that. There's no healing that takes place. There's no release. And so then you're with them. Now they're acting out on the rage level. We can't say that either. Unless we can. I don't even mean say out loud. It doesn't have to be out loud. It's all in the psyche. But it can be very difficult to say that, even to somebody who's very kind of a violent or very hurtful, scary person. Like say if somebody, I actually had this experience with it, so somebody looks at you with murder in their eyes, that's a very shocking experience. All you want to do is go away, get away. It's way hard to handle that. We usually don't have to experience something like that. But if you have some of these skills and you're practiced at it, you can go underneath that and realize that that person never, ever got what they needed to become okay. And so it's just one of our things to practice, and it's kind of you practice it when it's available. It's very, very beautiful. And it releases a lot of hurt and pain that we're carrying. And it breaks the lock and key in reference to the other person who's never had even an opportunity for anybody to care. If they had the opportunity for somebody to care on a real level, they also can become okay. But so many people don't have any opportunity like that at all. So they just keep acting out. So the other thing is that when we do it, remember that you're not, it's not about imagining that person. That's a different one. You know, say somebody who is really hurtful to you, you sit there and you just let their image be there until your buddhi is able to relax and all of that kind of charge falls off. That's another practice. That's a beautiful practice. Also having dialogue with that person, whoever it is, you say exactly how you feel about what they've done and how it's hurt you and whatever. And then you let the other person talk back and tell you their story, you know, and then you can have the little one talk, you know, to the one that has hurt you, and their little one can talk. And that's also has its own healing in that you have more understanding than you can offer the whole relationship up to Bhagavan. Let Bhagavan take care of it. But this one is a little different than that, because this one is really going to the very cause of the tremendous hurtfulness. If a person is a very hurtful, attacking, rageful, abusive, highly abusive person, you're not really talking to that level of the person. That's not really who the person is. The other thing I think, for me, that is important, you know exactly who that person is. You know that the Ishwara Upadhi, your body, mind, sense organs, have pure Antakarana Shuddhi in their natural state. Your mind is Ashantavritti. There is no problem for who you are in your natural state. The self is never polluted or hurt in any way. The mind is naturally pure. It becomes hurt and a carrier, and a lot of things are stored in the unconscious because of different varieties of adharma that were inflicted upon all of us. And so all of us have to work those things out. But some people, it's not all equally divided. It probably, maybe if you look at the whole, all the infinite lifetimes you've lived, there's equally maybe it all balances out. But right here and now, some people are carrying more pain, more tragedy, more abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, unimaginable types of abuse that we may have not even experienced at all. You know? So we have to understand it and go underneath to try to help the problem. So that's what in this Ho'oponopono, that's what a Hawaiian healer, that's their attitude. They're going to the problem itself and they realize kind of the lock and key of it, and they realize their own responsibility in an interesting way. In Vedanta, we'd say that person is in your life, so there's some karma there, you know. And I'm so sorry, you know. I love you, little one. You can always, who can't love a baby, right? So you know, I love you, and I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. I want to be big enough to be with you, and then your mind has that. Sankalpa. It's like an auto-suggestion. And then you find you can handle a lot more. And then your shanti is much more secure. Makes sense? We'll spend 15 minutes and then have class at 1:45. Instead of 11:30, we'll have class at 1:45. Okay.